Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Steelers injuries today at his press conference. Pat Freiermuth in the concussion protocol. Robert Spillane doubtful with a sprained knee. Expects Joe Haden to return. T.J. Watt in the COVID protocol. Didn't really elaborate on that. Chances are probably not good for him Sunday against the Ravens at home because he did test positive. For more, go to 93.7thefan.com. Right now, it's a Roundtable Tuesday on Pony and Mueller.
You're on the air.
Now back to the PM team, presented by Mike's Beer Bar. Live and local, just like Mike's.
When things don't go so well, you say you've got to ignore the outside noise. But when that some of that noise is coming from guys, ex-players, guys that played for you, the question, the physicality and the effort and that kind of stuff, does that have any more significance?
They would know. They know the things that we value. I don't know specifically what you're talking about, but guys that have been here, guys that have been in that room, guys that understand the standards that we aspire to, they probably have a better understanding of that than anybody that's not in that room right now. I would imagine whatever it is you're referring to, I agree with them.
Arthur Motes, presented by Parks Casino, must be 21 gambling problem. Call 1-800-GAMBLER. You would be one of those guys who was in the room.
Yeah, I guess I do fall into that category, man. Because it's all my success and accomplishments and all that stuff, right?
You were in the room, therefore your opinion means
more. Congratulations, Arthur, on all your success.
Hear ye, hear ye.
Hold on. Before we even dive into that, I love that Tomlin played dumb about the specific thing Jim was asking about, as if he doesn't have rabbit ears.
What are these comments you're referring to? What do you mean?
Whose job comments would it be over there? Would it be Burt's job to tell him, hey, Ryan Clark went on ESPN today and said this?
You don't think they have TVs on?
I could. Here's the part where I could believe. Tomlin is so wrapped up in his work, he's not sitting there watching. What show is that? Get Up? What is that show that Clark's on now?
Yeah, it's Get Up on ESPN in the morning with Greenberg.
Right, because, Greenberg's at the end of that rant going like, ugh.
Yes.
I could imagine that Mike Tomlin is not focused on watching Get Up, so I would imagine that somebody within that, you know, labyrinthine Steelers organizational flow chart is tasked with watching all the stuff that's said about the team, listening to all the stuff that's said about the team, like every criticism I've ever levied or you've ever levied, and reporting back with the particularly juicy nuggets so they are aware of them. So I am pretty sure Mike Tomlin knew that Ryan Clark had aired out this current team, and the fact that he agreed with it publicly is unbelievable to me.
Do you agree with it?
What? Coach Tomlin agreeing with the statement or
just
what?
The statement that, like, these are not the Steelers that I was a part of. These are not the Steelers that I played with, that whole narrative. Where does Arthur Motes as a former Steeler come down on that?
I get that narrative. I guess for me it's different because I can see the older generation, right? And for me, I don't classify myself as an older generation. I played with Debo, but I didn't play, you know, 10-plus years. I got 4 years to the back end of that thing, so I don't even consider myself a part of them. But I don't consider myself part of the new generation either, so I'm kind of in the middle, somewhere nice and sweet.
Yep.
But as a whole, man, I could definitely see, you know, the things that they're talking about, the lack of physicality, the lack of just when we talk about Steelers football, it's never been mentioned with the same breath as soft or lacking physicality. And the fact that you're watching teams beat you in manners that scream physicality or the lack thereof, yes, that's why they make these statements. And that's why even Coach T, even though he might not want to publicly, you know, say those words verbatim, that's the other reason why he probably doesn't disagree with what those guys are saying, because the message is very true. I mean, and those guys in the locker room, they don't have to hear it from us. They cut that tape on themselves and they can see, oh, this guy's blowing me off the ball. That's not good. Me missing this tackle right here, that's not good. It doesn't take an analyst saying it. It doesn't take an alumni of the organization saying it. If you're a professional like those guys are and how they should be operating, you cut that tape on and there is nothing new being said that you haven't seen, and not just this game either.
Yeah.
Because that's the other part, right? We act as if, oh, man, the sky is falling because this week, Joe Mixon ran for a record-breaking performance. This week,
it was building towards
we got blew up. But it was like, man, what about what Detroit was able to do on the ground. What about what the LA. Seahawks? No, not even LA. Think about the Seahawks.
Second
it was
half.
A time where Alex Collins mm-hmm. looked like Jim Brown out there.
Yep.
But we get out of those games with wins, and what do they say when we critique it, when we criticize it? Y'all are being negative. Y'all are just hating. But now when it's finally come to a head and it's like, man, look, the things that we've been talking about that have been showing up, well, now they showed up versus a more, you know, formidable opponent, and they whooped you. Well, now you have to chew on it. Now you have to see that, man, what y'all have been doing isn't acceptable. The mm-hmm. status quo isn't good enough. And to me, I think with Coach Tomlin just kind of agreeing with the comments that have been made by former players, I think that's ultimately what he's agreeing with because of that. I mean, it's not hard to see.
I also, it's funny, like you say, the players now cut the tape and see it and they know it. I think the thing that a guy, I don't want to put like thoughts or you know, implied meaning on what Ryan Clark said or like James Harrison agreed with because he kind of boosted it up on Twitter some more. It's like when you see that.
What do you say,
though,
preach?
Yeah. It's like when you, if you're a player who's on this team seeing all that stuff, like, does it piss you off? Do you care?
It should.
But because it keeps happening is why I have to ask that. Like, I wonder how mad these guys are.
And that's why at the beginning of my statement, I said I'm not all the way with the old group. I'm not all the way with the new group. Because, yeah, I shared the locker room with some of these guys that are there. But the guys that I shared the locker room with, I know how they'll respond to this. When I think of Cam Hayward, when I think of Joe Hayden, when I think of T.J. Watt, I'm not worried about those guys.
Mm-hmm.
But when we go down the list of some of these other younger players who are still in very prominent roles mm-hmm. offensively and defensively, well, I never shared the locker room with them. I can't attest to
Chase.
How they respond to this. I can't attest to, okay, if a guy continues to play bad, how he's going to respond when we keep criticizing him.
Pony, would you say?
When Coach Tomlin keeps speaking on a right. certain player as well, it's just like, I don't know those dudes like
that. I mean, to me, there are four players on that defense mm-hmm. who are not being spoken about here. When like Ryan yep. Clark says what he says, Cam Hayward, T.J. Mm-hmm. Watt, I'll say even Minka because he mentioned Minka yep. by name, says he has to play fifth linebacker.
Mm-hmm.
And if Hayden was out there, he'd be saying Joe Hayden too,
mm-hmm.
right?
Those guys are all veterans.
You agree with me, though, on that?
Yeah, I do.
Those guys are all business. Mm-hmm. Watt's probably going to end up in the Hall of Fame if his trajectory, yeah. you know, Hayward's going to get looks. Mm-hmm. Hayden's one of the better corners of his era.
Yep.
And Minka, when he's able to do what he's supposed to do, is one of the better playmaking right. safeties in the entire league.
When Minka's having to play fifth that linebacker.
Is, to me, that is not about those four guys. Mm-hmm. I think Roethlisberger's been through the battles enough that a criticism yeah. of the offense is not about him. Mm. Anymore,
no, Clark's talking about the defense
crap.
He played on. He's right. leaving yeah. the offense totally out of this.
So he's talking about, let's be honest, he's talking about Devin Bush.
Mm-hmm.
He's talking, I think, generally about the defensive lineman not named Cam Hayward who getting mm-hmm. blown off the ball. I even think maybe Schobert's getting put in there a little bit because Schobert's not like a guy that has commanded an insane amount of respect. And he only looks better being next to Devin Bush, mm-hmm. let's be honest. I think Edmonds is getting called out. At least Edmonds tried to hit Mixon, but he still bounced off.
Yeah.
And Mixon just was absolutely, you know, not bothered by that at all. I think it's those guys. Or even a James Pierre, who's just, you know, cornerback is not like physical in the way we think about it, but T. Higgins out-physicaled him on that touchdown. That was a humiliating play.
Yeah, but even Burrow you're saying Minka gets left
oh,
out.
Oh, Minka
even
gets,
Burrow
yeah, he clowned Minka
is
in the open
him
field.
On that touchdown run.
He
it's
did.
A quarterback
Absolutely.
On a safety. If Carson Palmer did that to Ryan Clark,
face mask
my
to face
head
mask.
Would have exploded yes, if that play happened the same exact way. Arthur, why do you
think... Well, a Steelers safety ran over Carson Palmer in that exact same yeah. end zone to score a touchdown.
Why do you think it is that this is the element of football that the former Steelers players are like most offended by?
Because,
like, it's the manner in which they're getting beat that seems to...
This is the reason, man. The legacy, when you think of playing for the Steelers defense, when you think of Steelers defense, you think of physicality, you think of nastiness, fear, like people would fear these defenses that showed up out there. And as a person that came from another organization, man, when I got here, that's what I kept thinking. I want to be a part of it. I want to make sure that we uphold that legacy mm-hmm. as well. You don't want to be the group where it's like, everybody was good except those years. Man, y'all were trash. You didn't want to be a part of that group. So that was kind of like our mindset. But like I said, with this new generation, the newer guys that are there right now, maybe they haven't bought into it to the same extent. Maybe to them, they look at them as, hey, man, that's the past. We're creating
Who
our
own
Who
was in
thing.
Charge of, like, instilling that to you when you played? Was it the other players in the locker room, or did it come from
honestly,
the coaches?
Honestly, it was more organic.
Yep.
I know for me, I just took it on just because of the respect as a football player, like a purist of the game. I've always respected Steelers defense, even when I wasn't a fan of it. I mean, anyone that knows me, I was a diehard Cowboys fan. My favorite player growing up was Ray Lewis. I was anti-Steelers. But we always respected their defense because they were physical, they were smart, they flew around, and you hated to play them.
Yep.
That was always the legacy. So now the reason why you're talking about alumni being offended by the performances that are out there is because you're watching it and you're saying to yourselves, man, it's one thing if you just got better athletes. It's one thing if you just throwing the ball like crazy, man. We don't mind. You could score 70 all through the air. We'll get that another time. But to see how they are just running on them defensively, that's an issue. It's disrespectful. I mean, you think with Ryan Clark and his generation, right? Because even mine, we were still, like, we had our moments, but we weren't to that. Like, you think about that 08 defense where, man, they're not even allowing 100-yard rushers. Teams aren't even rushing 60 yards.
A bloodbath every game.
So just
Clark
imagine,
on McGahee.
So just imagine you go from that to where it is now, where you're talking three games in a row, over 100 yards on the ground, and not just 100 yards, like almost taking your heart out style runs. Like, that's
Chris made a very good
man.
Point yesterday, I thought, in terms of like what a team running the ball on you at will constitutes and means versus if somebody's airing the ball out and scoring points.
It's night and day. It's night and day, man. When a team is running the ball on you, man, that is just like I'm talking to you man to man. You cannot stop me. I'm going to take your phone and you just got to sit there and smile and like it.
Football's an alpha.
That's what it is. Like, seriously, whereas if I'm throwing it on you, I tricked you a little bit. I might have was able to, you know, oh, it was
finesse.
A lucky this. It's finesse, absolutely. That's the difference, and that's why it's like as a defender – man, I'd rather you throw the ball on me every day than you physically run it down my throat and I can't do anything to stop it? Mm-hmm. That's embarrassing, man.
I mean, Pony said yesterday the Steelers defense, win or lose, used to take a pound of flesh no matter what. They'd get their toll.
Absolutely.
You might beat them, but you weren't going to come out of that game feeling
not
good.
Not at all. Not at all.
And I said the example I used was, like, obviously Tomlin has had worse defensive performances. He gave up his defense. I think LeBeau was still there for this one, yeah. Gave up 55 to the Patriots.
Yeah, that was LeBeau's defense.
610 yards in 2013. It was a game that was actually close for about three quarters, and then they gave up 28 points in the fourth, and Brady was loving putting it on him, right?
Whew.
But that is Tom Brady and Bill Belichick and whoever was the OC back then in New England out-scheming you. They just had your number. They always could beat Dick LeBeau. Football, we have Kenny Pickett on every Wednesday. He said it's a tough game played by tough guys. You know this better than most. It is an alpha male kind of game.
No question.
When somebody is running the ball, it is a bunch of alpha males on one side turning the other guys into, to use the term, betas.
Yeah.
I want to play devil's advocate on one thing. I don't agree with this, but I just want to present this other side. Donnie Football is here, ladies and gentlemen.
So you're going to put this on Donnie?
He's producing today's show.
He's throwing Donnie under the bus.
Donnie Football played at Greensburg-Salem High School, right?
Mm-hmm.
Greensburg-Salem had to play Thomas Jefferson.
Chirpack.
You were a guy in the trenches. Right? You could have all the heart in the world, all the guts, all the guile. The dude across the line from you could kick your ass. No offense. Right? I mean,
He was like, if he was a Thomas Jefferson kid, he was probably getting at least looks D1.
So
bigger, stronger, more than likely.
Can you respond to the Steelers fan mindset?
Mm-hmm.
That is, we've got Henry Mondu and Chris Wormley and Isaiah Loudermilk out there, these guys are going to get run over. It's not a matter of effort or how much they care. It's just that these guys aren't good enough.
Okay. What about the guys that are good enough then on paper? Your Devin Bushes, your Joe Schobers, your TJ Watches, your Alex Highsmiths, your Cam Haywards. That's just, you know, how I always viewed it. If you're going to point out two or three guys that may be inadequate, every defense, every offense in this league, you're going to have two to three guys where you're like, hey, these are the potential weak links right there.
Mm-hmm.
But I can tell you firsthand, even when I watch guys like Wormley, who, by the way, did have a big sack on the goal line in that game, he plays well. When I watch Henry Mondo, he plays well. The difference, like I said, is always with those three guys in particular versus your Alu-Alus and your Tuits. With the three guys that we're talking about right now, they're going to give you good play. It's always going to be satisfactory, but they're not going to have the exceptional plays, right? Whereas with your guys like Tua, your guys like Alu-Alu, they're going to be able to give you the above and the beyond. So with that whole narrative of, well, man, these guys just are so outmatched, I personally don't believe that. Now, when you start going past that group, that's different. Because we have seen some other guys past that group where you're just like, man, I didn't know he was on the roster all the way here.
Mm-hmm.
That's a different conversation. But those three guys you named, I mean, we can point to times this year and last year where they've given us critical snaps and made big plays during those games.
Mm-hmm.
So that narrative, to me, is still a form of seeking comfort. It's still a form of, you know, moving away from what actually needs to be done, which is yo, you guys just got to be more physical. You got to play more consistent. I mean, you do it at times, but in the NFL, you got to do it every single time, especially as a defender in the NFL.
Man, the crystallized like point I take away from that game, based on everything Arthur just said, based on what like Ryan said, Brian McFadden said it too. I mean, there's a cornerback who was a mm-hmm. physical guy who was a big-time player on a team yeah. that won a Super Bowl, right? He got thrown right into it. Is, you know, you had them get accused of quitting by Tyler Boyd. Mm-hmm. That, one, I don't think you'd ever have that said about a Ryan Clark team, Steelers team back yeah. then. But had it been said, that next game, whether people would have been squeamish about it, I'm serious about this, though, that next 100%. Game would have been a very predictable bloodbath.
Somebody would be going to sleep.
Like yeah. Tyler, somebody on the Steelers would be trying to put Tyler Boyd in the hospital.
And instead, Joe Mixon's like...
They came out and... Well, Aditi,
laughing at that.
Aditi, I mean, you told us yesterday.
When we talked on Friday, we were breaking down the whole, man, what's your mindset going to those mm-hmm. games? And you heard what the sentiment was. It should have been like what you were just referring to.
We're going
to
kill these guys, basically.
Right. And that was my full understanding. Like, that should be it. And anything less, I'm going to be baffled. And here we are on Tuesday, and I'm baffled because you see that performance, and it looked like Cincinnati was the ones that felt disrespected.
You know what Aditi said to us yesterday? That Joe Mixon said to her before the game, bet us by a lot. Mm. Like, there was no fear factor, nothing. Hey. We're going to go out there. We are going to little brother these guys, mm-hmm. and they can't do a damn thing to stop yeah. it, and they were right.
Well, and I will say this, though, roster-wise, I mean, they have improved. They are a good team. Inconsistent, but still a good team.
Oh, I think they have the best roster right now yeah. in the division,
but,
health-wise
but
and everything else.
But I do think, though, part of the reason why people react in the way that they are here in Pittsburgh is because they don't believe in that Bengals team. They didn't think they were a good team, but it's like you watch them on tape, they're good. Mm-hmm. The games that they struggle is because they're self-inflicted turnovers, some of the stuff that Joe Burrow was doing. But as a whole, they are a good team, a complete team, and the flaws that they had a year ago in terms of not being able to rush the passer, in terms of some of the secondary stuff, they've done some things to improve it, pass protection being one of them, absolutely.
That's what an actual improving offensive line
yeah,
looks like,
that's what,
frankly.
100%. They did what they needed to do to either draft a guy early on or bring in guys through agency, but either way, they shored up one of their biggest weaknesses from a year ago. And then they turned around and said, well, you know, we need to be able to rush the passer as well without blitzing. And you saw the two guys that they have over there, Hendrickson and Hubbard, and what they've been doing this season also. So for the people that look at this loss and they're like, man, we were just, you know, I just can't believe it's so embarrassing. It's like, well, no. You shouldn't be, you know, surprised by it because they were good enough to beat us and beat us handedly. The embarrassing part was just the manner in which it happened in terms of, like you said, that physical part of it. That's the part where it's just like, that can't be.
You know what ticks me off is that one of the guys who I think is cut from the Ryan Clark, James Harrison, we're not going to back down from people mindset. Mm-hmm. They said, you can go play for the Bengals. We don't care.
Yeah.
Hilton's that type of player. Mm-hmm. I mean, say what you will about his strengths and weaknesses. Yeah. Is he the best in coverage? Is he a little bit undersized? All true.
He's a dog.
But he's out there to yes. kick your ass.
Every snap.
And they just said, nah, we're
Every
good
snap,
on that.
Man.
He looked pretty good in coverage right before the half.
But you, like that's a type. I would think if I'm Keith Butler and Mike Tomlin, you did some things as a player, I think, off the field, like your professionalism that made you more attractive to the organization.
No,
would you agree
saying.
With that?
I definitely agree with you saying.
And so I think Hilton, we like what he stands for.
Yes.
And I'm just surprised they were so willing to say, goodbye.
I think we could all agree the way that they handled the finances in terms of defensive personnel groupings this offseason probably wasn't the best in terms of how the Steven Nelson situation played out, in terms of Mike Hilton, right? In terms of even the handling of Vince Williams. That doesn't even include the David DeCastro situation.
Yep.
It just feels like the plan, it really wasn't one in place. It was kind of we're making it up as we go along, and you kind of fall into these traps where you might have said on paper, well, yeah, we'll let Hilton leave. We'll pay Cam Sutton way less than what Mike Hilton got, thinking that they would be comparable in terms of the productivity or that he could step out and do what Steven Nelson was doing as well for a lot cheaper. They guessed wrong, though.
We have this diamond in the rough. James Pierre waiting in the wings. You know where they prioritize toughness, if we're going to be honest about their offseason moves? Say what you will about the Juju social media stuff. He is a tough SOB on the football field. He is a tough MF-er.
Mm-hmm. Look what he did at bottom.
Perfect. The way he just tried to get every last yard. I think that guy is one of the toughest dudes on this roster. They brought him back when they probably didn't need him because they wanted, a luxury item, I guess? Yeah. A security? Because Ben loved him, and I understand why. But because you bring him back, all those other guys
walk
out.
Peter to pay Paul is what you do there.
Because you know why, though? That speaks to me. Oh, we have a defensive coach. Mm-hmm. We have spent a lot of picks on the defensive side. We are defensively great. Mm-hmm. We'll make that side work. We need to help the offense. And they have guessed dramatically wrong.
Arthur, you can comment on this better than any of us can because you've been in these locker rooms and you know about team morale and chemistry and stuff. I just wonder when two guys who you thought were going to be a part of your defense in the summer, Tuitt and Vince Williams, mm-hmm. just, they're gone. You know, and like they're, I'm not even speaking to so much like their presence on the field. No, it's like they're
yeah, it feels weird, man. That's the part, though, of the business. You're going to have guys that you've played with, guys that, you know, you've had impactful life moments with, that one day they're there and then they're gone. And you have to just have the mental fortitude to play through it. When you talk about a new guy coming in, you can't view him as, man, you here to replace my boy, my brother. No, you got to look at it as you're my new brother. You're right. Part of the family now.
But it's interesting with those two guys, they prioritize something else mm-hmm. over playing football for the Steelers this year. And I'm not saying that to be like critical of either one. It's just if I were a part of a team coming back and it's like, this has been 39, we're going to go for it one last time. And then those guys are like, you know what? I got other things.
But no, Vince, you got to think. It wasn't he wanted to retire. That came after what?
That's true.
They released him first because they wanted to play the game
that's
of
a very
what
good
we
point.
Just said. Rob Peter to pay Paul.
That's a good point.
Okay, we think Spillane can do this. He's a lot cheaper, so we'll release you. Test the market. Have fun. But, hey, come back for the cheap. And it's like, well, why would I come back to the similar role or, you know,
a lesser role,
and you're going to take away a ton more of my money?
That's a good point.
I would love to be on here complaining after a loss to the Bengals, like that was 31-17, and say, man, Vince Williams hit Mixon like a dump truck, but they suckered him in on play action too many times and hit Uzomah over the middle. I would much, much rather be whining about that than about them getting emasculated, really. That was, to me, I'll say it again to you, Arthur, because I said it to Andrew yesterday, I've tweeted it. That felt like, in many ways, for them being the bullies so mm-hmm. long of the AFC North, I know it didn't apply to Baltimore, mutual respect. I know the Bengals have been good at times under Marvin Lewis. That game Sunday felt like the end of the era of them as the big, bad bullies
on the block.
Right?
Felt like a change of a guard, right?
They are never going to get feared and looked at again the same way until mm-hmm. they build it back up on their own.
You didn't actually go to Cincinnati and watch that up close, did you?
I did not, actually. Thank God. I had to hear it twice, though. I listened to it in the
car.
That's
like a Spidey sense maneuver, though.
No, it sucked because I had to listen to it live in the car, listen to the radio part, which sucked. Then I had to turn around and watch it again on tape to see was it just as bad, and it was actually a lot worse.
What was your tweet that went viral about the Steelers today? You said
Uh-oh.
Something about
Wait,
him.
Our guy has a viral tweet?
But people are very interested
in
it.
It didn't really go viral. I mean, it got a decent following. Right. All I said was, I'm bothered by the fact that the Steelers of my childhood hate the Steelers of my adulthood, and I can't blame any of them for a second.
Oh, man.
Man.
Wow.
I like that, man.
That is poignant, isn't it?
It's
from
like
Donnie
that,
Football?
Though, man. It's like
Donnie,
that.
Donnie Philosopher guy?
I mean, and that's just a product of being a Steeler, right? Yep. I mean, the legacy, the amount of winning, the amount of big games, clutch performances, you build this legacy up where it matters, where a game at any time of the season matters to the point where people's days, weeks are ruined. I mean, you won it that way, man.
I never understood fully the way 70s Steelers fans talked about that team like glowingly and mm-hmm. kind of I thought it was ridiculous at times, and maybe it's still a little different because these guys are very much more recently retired. Yeah. Now I get it. Mm-hmm. Like, now I understand it.
It's different, man.
I will say that whole Steeler way on the field mm-hmm. wasn't BS. Like, when you hear Ryan Clark talk that way and you hear how mad James Harrison is, a guy who walked out on them because he was mad at them, right?
Absolutely.
When you see how mad they still get about it, you know it wasn't just lip service and it meant something.
Texas on the Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line. What's on tap is brought to you by Mike's Beer Bar. Over 500 beers, Pittsburgh's premier craft beer destination. Jim Colony was asking tough questions of Mike Tomlin. He joins us next hour from Steelers headquarters. Zach Banner, 5-6. Arthur Motes in with us until 5. 2:33. Stop out to Century 3 Chevrolet for their used car super sale. What do you think those kids are up to these days? You think they're about 35 with their own kids?
Are you aware that is not just their jingle? Like, there's another dealership in, like, Indiana that has the same kids singing.
The same kids.
Oh,
Yeah. Wow. It's, you know, I-35 westbound. Something like that. You know what I mean? Yeah. I was blown away when I found out that they do not just sing that jingle. So are those kids singing jingles all over the country in for products near and far?
And did their parents rip them off instead of putting money away for a college fund? They kept it for themselves.
You say that, and just because of the time of year it is, I think about the way Culkin's parents, Macaulay Culkin's parents, ripped
him
off,
man. That's actually a good call right there, yeah.
What is he up to these days?
Oof.
I saw him in New York City once, and he had a man bun before it was popular.
I think he did a lot of drugs for a while, then kind of got back on his feet, and now he's kind of like a hipster.
Culkin, dead or alive, Donnie?
Oh, he's alive. He's definitely alive. He's alive. Donnie, don't overthink
it. Still acting?
Donnie is just laser-focused on football right now.
Still acting, Macaulay Culkin?
I don't think so. I mean, I can't think of the last thing he's been in.
Well, what if he's been in a stage production? I don't think that's Donnie Football's
wheelhouse. His brother still does movies.
Kieran Culkin?
Yes. I didn't know that was his first name.
I did not either.
I think it is. I don't know why I know so much about Macaulay Culkin. Can either of you name more than Home Alone, Home Alone 2, and Richie Rich, another Macaulay Culkin movie?
Oh, no, he's in the Oh, man.
The one where he died because he got stung by bees.
Well, that's My Girl. But I'm thinking about the one with the
Thank you.
Is the Pagemaster. That's the one where he has like the books that come alive and everything.
I like My Girl, right?
I like the one where
My Girl. Yeah, that's him. Yeah.
I like the one where he's the bad kid, the good son or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a dark a dark turn for him.
I like that one too.
Donnie?
He was in it looks like several episodes of American Horror Story as of this year.
That's a pony show.
Yeah,
you
I
like
gave
that?
Up on it.
I don't like how you keep the same people
I had Amanda drag me in.
They are every time. Like,
did she give up on it too?
Pretty much, yeah.
Why?
You'd have to ask her, Malzi. You've had her on your weekend show before. Why don't you have her on Saturday to talk about it?
I don't have a weekend show.
Okay. Well, the next time you have one, why don't you book Amanda for 5 minutes and ask her about her TV habits?
Our new
Yellowstone,
boss,
American
our
Horror
new
Story.
Boss Craig Riley's listening, so let's not give him any ideas with weekend shows here.
The three guys mentioned there, let's go through all three. Spillane, Friermuth, Hayden. First of all, Hayden. Are they stuck between an Iraq place with him where they have to franchise tag him now?
Stuck between in a rock place?
Stuck between a rock and a hard place with him.
Oh, I was
where
like,
they have to franchise tag him.
The way Pierre has been so atrocious and the way they've been exposed as being really bad, frankly, at that position, you almost feel like they might have to, but they have so many problems elsewhere. Draft a cornerback? Well, you can't do that in the first round.
But who are they going to use their tag on?
Yeah.
I think he's a candidate for it. You want to go
but why do you need to tag him, though? Why can't you get a deal worked out?
Yeah, I can't think of another tag candidate, so probably
yes. Yeah, I think
you
could just get a deal worked out with him.
I don't know, though. Aren't you worried about the disrespect factor there a little bit? I know Joe Hayden's a businessman, but like that his agent floats out there that he would love a new deal.
I think he's a mercenary, and I don't mean that in a negative way whatsoever.
You're supposed to be a mercenary at the NFL level. Yep. I mean, the teams are mercenaries the way they operate with us. So yeah.
I think he wants to say, I'll go to the highest bidder in free agency, and I don't give him any
Well, I don't think the Steelers did themselves any favors with basically saying, you're getting old.
Yeah,
we're
he
not
said, let's negotiate,
money.
And they said, nah, we're good.
Well, and I do think that part could come back to bite them in the butt. I just don't think that they would franchise him just because of the number with that. I think that if they're going to get a deal done with Joe, it's just going to be a regular deal. I don't think they franchise tag.
Next one, Spillane. If he didn't have a knee sprain, would you start him over Devin Bush?
Yes.
Well, I mean, obviously the team was already deciding on that. You saw how quickly he was out there. Devin Bush
that was
got
a
the
quick hook for Devin Bush.
Devin
huh?
got the start as a formality, but it was as soon as you had your first mistake, we're switching you. So clearly the team was already on that same path. Mm-hmm. So, if they're on that path, you know we're on that path over here because we were already talking about some of these things.
Arthur, if this is what I said I wanted done, obviously with Spillane's knee now, you can't do this. I said, I don't care. Activate Buddy Johnson if you want. Start Spillane and Schobert. I would
Donnie's been pounding the table for Buddy Johnson
there. Well, I would love this.
You've
though.
Become Buddy Johnson's number one fan lately.
I don't see why he doesn't even get a helmet.
Because he doesn't do special teams.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Gotta have that special teams.
But here's what to me it's not about Buddy Johnson playing. I would love the message that I feel would be sent. I would love to see Devin Bush inactive for a game. I would.
Man, what if you lose him, though, over something like
that?
Oh,
yeah, because having him has been so good for you.
I know, I'm just
throwing
it out there.
The issue that you run into, though, and this is why we say what we say in terms of losing him. Well, you saw the team how quickly they went to Spillane.
Mm-hmm.
And that's cool on paper until Spillane did what? He got hurt. Now you got to go back to Devin. Now, as much as we've been criticizing Devin is still putting forth some effort, right? it will be night and day.
Some is doing a lot of work in that sentence.
But all I'm going to say is this. If he literally went out there and had a pouty attitude on top of him trying and struggling, just imagine what it would look like. That's all I'm saying. So I get it, but you can't, like, I just feel like you can't send that message that hard.
I guess to me it would be, I would try to send it with the idea of, it's not that we think Spillane is, like, better than you, but we do feel we need to get through to you here.
Well, and
like, we need a wake-up call.
And I do think that the progression of their messaging towards him, if you look at it, it was what? First, he had the long leash, no above reproach. Then it was, okay, we're going to take you out on third downs.
No green dot anymore.
You know, no green dot. Then after that, it was, okay, we're going to put Spillane in there for possession downs. Third downs, we'll have him blitz a little bit, cover a little bit. Then we saw this last game where it was, no, you messed up. We're going to put Spillane in for base and sub package ball right now. So you could see where it was heading. But they have to do it.
It sounds like benching him straight up and making him inactive.
That was
going to
be the next
away.
Thing. Yes, that was the next thing. But you have to build up to it a player like that.
Okay, so here, so let me play this out to both of you. He's going to play this week because they don't have.
I mean,
Spillane.
You have to, right?
They
are. Well, you don't have to,
but you
get
know
what
I mean.
Guys
functionally speaking, you have to play him. You are going against a team that loves to tax and stress mentally guys in Devin Bush's position. Let's get this action flowing one way. Let's force you to a decision at the second level. If he gets absolutely picked apart by that running attack or by Mark Andrews, for example, a very reliable, sturdy target, big guy, what do you do then?
I mean, I'm sure they'll start to consider other options, but you don't really have a ton of options because you're in season. We can bring up the Buddy Johnson thing, but when we talk about playing linebacker in the NFL, is bigger and more than just speed and size. Is way more than that. A lot of time, you heard Coach Tom when he spoke on Devin Bush, he said mentally the awareness part. If you think Devin Bush's awareness is down and he's struggling, well, just imagine you throw a rookie out there in the regular season in December. What do you think that's going to look like? That's all I'm saying.
You know who two guys that never get brought up even though they've been here for so long? They almost never play, and you forget that they're even on the team. Gilbert and Marcus Allen.
Yeah.
They're inside linebackers, and like,
I actually did forget that Gilbert was on the team for a while.
Are they so bad as defensive players that you can't even give them? You know that they're comfortable in terms of like what is being asked out of them.
With both of those guys, I just think it's a little bit different, right?
Because Allen used to play.
Yeah, Allen did play, but the thing that Allen's weakness is what? Playing against the run.
Undersized guy, converted safety.
He's really undersized. Now, he did a good job of putting weight on, but he's still a big safety in the box.
Okay.
When you talk about Gilbert, the problem with Gilbert has been availability of recently, right? Well, not even recently, since he's been in Pittsburgh. So part of me says, okay, how much do you trust in him? How much do you put on his plate when you know this guy has had a history of getting hurt every season? So that's the other part I think of. Now, I don't know in terms of Gilbert behind the scenes if they don't feel like mentally he's where he needs to be in his development because, like I said, I never shared the locker room with him. I don't know his football acumen at that time, right? But that it's a lot of behind-the-scenes things like that that will determine if a guy's going to get that opportunity. And not even to mention the basis of it all, which you talked about with Buddy Johnson not getting a helmet, is special teams related. I know how it works in the organization where – as a defender, they're not just throwing you out there to start if you haven't worked your way. Now, granted, we got exceptions for the higher-end guys, but for the majority of the other guys, you have to earn that, and you earn it through making plays on special teams. Robert Spillane didn't just wake up and start playing defense. No, he was making plays on special teams. Vince Williams didn't just wake up and start playing defense. He made plays on special teams.
Yeah.
Even Ryan Shazier had to play on special teams. So when we talk about the progressions of it, that's why guys like Buddy Johnson, that's why guys like Marcus Allen, Ulysses Gilbert, they haven't gotten those opportunities either. All of that plays into it.
Follow us on Twitter at 93.7 The Fan, driven by Jim Shorkey, Kia Wexner, North Huntington, Uniontown. We will take a timeout from Steelers talk because our boss has takes. Yeah.
Our boss just texted me a take during that segment.
Yes,
that I wasn't
boss,
too fond of.
Our boss has opinions.
Head honcho.
And so when he says, I need to speak my mind.
Hey, show stops.
Okay. Brought to you by Pittsburgh's number one Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram dealer, ShorkeyNorthHills.com. Mike Tomlin responds to Chase Claypool's let's get DJ Kelly in town for practice. Or who else? Are Dead Mouse?
Is Dead he a- Mouse. Man, you got Who Kid. You got a whole bunch of DJs
is
out
DJ
there.
Is DJ Who Kid the guy who would... Would DJ Who Kid yell his name in the middle of
DJ
every?
DJ Who
Yeah.
Kid.
So we got guys.
Yeah.
Have why do I hear? Action. Why when we're talking about DJs, does the phrase just somebody going Clubanos? Like, come into my
How about the
right
horn
now?
That goes bam 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 bam?
Whoa, 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 I hate that one.
Yeah.
Come on, man. If you don't got the horn, man, you're not doing it right.
We'll see how Tomlin feels about that.
What else is there? DJ K Slay, I remember back when I was listening.
DJ Clue. I mean, we got a ton of DJs out there, man.
Jazzy Jeff.
Oh, okay. Take us way back there time. I see you.
Craig Riley is now our boss. He's on the line from his newly built palatial studio. One of the perks of being in charge here at 93.7 The Fan. The people want to know what is going on with the Pittsburgh Pirates. And the person we turn to is our head honcho. Craig?
A lot is going on with the Pirates. Where do you want to start?
Roberto Perez signs 1 year, $5 million. He's their new catcher. Jacob Stallings gone. Tell us why.
My thought is they traded Stallings knowing that they could sign Perez, and that's exactly how it worked. They weren't going to trade Stallings unless they had somebody ready, and they figure that this guy, I mean, carries pretty much no bat with him from what I could see, is probably defensively good enough to help developing pitchers, and that's what they care about until they get Henry Davis here.
Oh, well, that's exciting.
But why not just have Stallings do it instead of Perez? Like, what? Why
the
not?
The value of trading him. It's probably never going to be higher, and that had to be how they looked at it.
What do you make of the return they got in that deal?
It's okay. I thought if they were going to trade Stallings, they were going to have to get blown out of the water to do it because of how good he was defensively and for their pitchers. So
they're still in the water on this trade. They didn't get blown out of it. They're still sitting on one of those blow-up floats.
I don't think the return is great. I'm guessing they do, or they wouldn't have moved Stallings.
Well, I was going to ask, what do you think Perez brings to this team anyways?
A glove, not a bat.
Yeah.
And that's about it.
So he doesn't even show up with a bat bag. He just says, I'll use whatever here.
Well, much like Michael Perez last year.
Well,
he might as well not have.
How bad is it with him? Like, what are we talking no bat?
149 and 165 the last two seasons is
correct.
My understanding. That's right. I do my homework, boss.
Well, he's a
that is impressive.
He was making a Cleveland Guardian. So you have an area of expertise.
Thank you.
There.
That's very kind of
you. Do you buy into the notion that they're trading Stallings now because they think that there's not going to be pitch framing next year with an automated strike zone?
No. I don't think that's coming that soon.
Do you think they're going to trade Brian Reynolds?
Whoa.
Uh-oh.
I don't think they will. If I were them, I would offer him what I would think is a market value deal.
Yep.
And if he turns it down and says he doesn't want to be here, then I would probably have to consider moving him.
Why did they get rid of Moran?
That one kills me. I don't know. I'm totally biased. I love that guy.
Guys, you know, red beards stick together, right?
But what do you think the logic is with that one, Craig?
That, to me, looks like they're non-tendering some guys right now because my thought is they're probably looking at what the price tag is on each of those guys, and it's not worth it to them. So they're going to get rid of Stephen Brault and Colin Moran, and they probably spend about the same amount of money it cost for those two as they're now paying Yoshi Susugo and Jose Quintana.
Is that an upgrade? Is that a good swap?
Quintana probably is, just because you can rely on him and they need somebody like that. Because remember the end of last year, they were throwing out anybody.
Rely on him for what?
Plate.
Innings, Chris.
To make starts. He eats innings. Over the last, I think, 5 years,
devour
he's
innings.
Missed a start.
Hey, that's his job,
and they
man.
Need a guy.
Now, Craig, what do you think are the next, like, pressing things that you think the Pirates are going to do, man?
Sign people is what they should do. They have to field a full roster, and I can't figure out who they're going to put out there right now on that. The most pressing thing, honestly, it's not even anything at the major league level yet. The most pressing thing for them as an organization is continue to develop that next wave of guys. Like, make sure when O'Neill Cruz, like, eventually gets here next year, he's really ready to go. When Roansy Contreras gets here, he's ready to go. That's more important than anything they're probably going to
do in terms of
free agency.
Do you think any of these moves, like, opened up a spot for Cruz to play this year?
It could. I mean, they signed Gamble. I wouldn't have done that. But they have Anthony Alford if they want to start him, Reynolds, and Gamble in the outfield. But Gamble and Alford could still stink and open up a spot for Cruz to move to the outfield if they want.
Did Cruz play outfield in fall ball?
They were going to put him there. I'll be honest with you, I had bigger things on my radar than tracking O'Neal Cruz and Paul.
Congratulations on all your success. Arthur, do you want to say anything? This is the first time you've talked to Craig since he formally became your boss.
You notice I'm a little nervous. I don't know what to say. Like, do I address him as totally Mr. Boss Man? Like, yes, sir. I love all of your takes. Like, I just, I'm
it know, came nervous. Up in his introductory well, meeting. One of the women on the sales staff said, "Are we still allowed to call you Craigers?" And he said, "Mr. Craigers."
Mr. Craigers. Wow. Well, I will say this. I think your hair looks amazing today. Okay. So that's got to count for something. I love all of your shoes, especially your lucky Jordans that you were only on special occasions.
That's a good take.
All right. There we go. There we go. And I think you got the best coverage of the Pirates ever. Yep.
Wow.
Very strong takes.
Shout out to the boss.
Craig, thank you.
You're welcome.
Goodbye, boss.
There you go.
Goodbye.
Our boss had Pirates takes and wanted to get on the air, and we accommodated
him. We're joking. That is still very weird.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.